Again, I'm appreciative for the opportunity to be here at this place. God's been really good. And I'm encouraged by your warmth. And even thanking me for lessons. And most preachers know you sit down and you forget, and then you realize that you forgot half of what you wanted to say. And you thank me anyway. And, of course, I'm appreciative for that. It's encouraging. Good to have Highland Acres here tonight. Amen. Small number, but we're here. I've been looking all week. And we have some here tonight, and we're appreciative of that. Good to have Brother Duke Clark with us also from Central Church of Christ here in Mooresville. I'd like to direct your attention to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8 tonight. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." James says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you." The devil is quite cunning. He uses any and every trick available to him, and not just that first trick in the book. "Lookest thou over there? Aha, madest thou look," kind of thing. But he uses every trick available to him. Tonight, I want to discuss three major tricks of the devil. Sometimes I present this lesson as if I am the devil. And ever since a child asked parents, "Is he really the devil?" After that, I've changed and I've not done that way since. But it is interesting to have a lesson presented from the other angle, as if I am trying my best to discourage us to do God's will. It's quite interesting. But know that that's what the devil really wants. First, the devil tries his best to keep everyone out of the church. The devil knows that Jesus built one. And he tries his best to complicate that for the world. We'll say Jesus built one. In fact, just basically teaching what the Bible says. And folk will think, "Are they really saying that only the people in that building are going to heaven?" And of course, that's a misunderstanding. And the devil is using every trick to complicate and confuse. When the Bible talks about Jesus building the church, he's not talking about a building, first of all. And we all need to understand that. The devil knows it. Jesus was building a group of people who would believe and follow his will. And those kinds of people are in Statesville and Mooresville and all over the world. When Paul later would write and he says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism," etc. And he had already identified in that letter, the Ephesians 4, it's the text we talked about, in that same letter of Ephesians in chapter 1, he had identified what the body is. He says it's the church. And then he says there is one body. Now, I think we all understand that kind of writing. If, for an example, I said, "Mr. Dennis Strickland," and in the body of a lesson, "Mr. Dennis Strickland, the contractor, said hello to you." And then later on, I said, "The contractor said you needed some work on your house." People know that I'm talking about Dennis Strickland because I've already identified it. When the Bible says and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church, which is his body. Hear that? The church, which is his body. And then later on says, there is one body. It's clear. It's clear that God is trying to get the message across that there's one church. Oh, but the devil, man, he's convincing us, and he's done a marvelous job of convincing us that it can't mean that. And yet, what else can it mean? Jesus says, upon this rock, upon the solid foundation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, singular. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, singular. But the devil twists and turns and confuses. And he's apparently fairly successful at that. The devil also knows that all of the saved of all of the world are in the church. It was Luke's description when he says, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those that should be saved are members of the church. That one church that Jesus built. That one church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. And not only that, the devil knows that all the promises of God are in Christ. And that every spiritual blessing is in him. The devil also knows what it means to be lost. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The thing that stands out to me the most, that's the most scary, it's all of it, but having no hope, I think we can relate to that. Having no hope. I remember before I had knee surgery and my right knee replaced, I remember one day when I was after school and before my wife came home, I'm out chipping golf balls in the yard. And my knee started bothering me. Of course, I was supposed to be taking anti-inflammatory medication. And I decided I'm going to wing that for a little bit and just try it without it. I'm a man after all, you know. And so I'm out chipping golf balls, and all of a sudden my knee started hurting. And I chipped a little bit more, and I realized I can't chip anymore. It's hurting pretty badly. So I went in the house, picked up the old beautiful telephone, and I said, honey, could you go by the pharmacy and pick up my medication? I've already called it, and it's going to be ready about the time you get there. And by the time my wife came home with that medication, I could have taken the whole bottle. I mean, I was hurting that bad. It was some kind of painful. But the hope of her coming with medication, the hope of getting relief, I could survive it. Having no hope? I can't imagine having no hope. Not having a little bit, that's bad enough. But having none, no hope. Of course, without Christ and without God in the world. Oh, the devil knows. And the devil wants us out of the church. Please. And I would like to say, when I consider the size of this congregation, the devil's busy. The devil is really, really busy. Keeping folk out of the place where the truth is proclaimed. Oh, he's successful. Every trick in the book. But consider now that when we enter the church, the devil's not through. He is not through. And so he tries to get us to go back into the world. And sometimes that's like this. Preacher entered the building. He's got already 1,000 things on his mind. And by the time he's made it to the front of the building, having shaken this hand and that hand, he now has double the concerns on his brain. And he walks by Al Simmons, and he didn't extend his hand to me. Well, I'm upset. That old preacher coming in the building, not shaking my hand. What's wrong with him? And the longer I sit there, the madder I get. And finally, I convince myself, I'm done. Can't make me come back to this place. Where are you going? I mean, first of all, consider that the devil, it puts that kind of thinking in the brain. The devil, the Lord purchased a church with his own blood. He's not going to say, don't come back. The Lord loves us. He wants that which is right. He's not wanting any of us to be lost. So that thinking is not from God. That thinking is from the devil. He's trying his best to get us back. Now, I want you to consider a couple of texts as to why the devil wants us to get back into the world. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. This is really a familiar text to many of us. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse number 20, where the Bible says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord, knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Oh, the devil knows that the last state is worse than the first, and for a number of reasons. A little bit of knowledge is quite dangerous. People come into church and get a little bit of knowledge, and then they think they have something when they go back into the world. And they're trying to down the church. That's what a little bit of knowledge will do for you. Downing the church. And of course, when they're like that, it's hard for them to ever repent and come back to the Lord. But I want you to look at another text, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse number 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." The person who is bent on sin and sinning, it is impossible to renew them unto repentance. They've got to change the way they think about sin and what they're doing before we can renew them or the God can renew them unto repentance. Oh, the worst condition of all is to come into the church, get a little bit of knowledge, and then end up back in the world. Oh, the devil is busy, and he makes that happen sometimes. I mean, we just get out of our minds with that. We turn our backs on the truth and our backs on the Lord, going back into the world. But even if the devil can't get us back into the world, he's not done. He is not through at all. The devil really, those of us who are still in the church, he wants to render us absolutely worthless to the church. Now, I'm thankful, Brother Dennis, I don't know anybody here and their attitudes and commitments. I don't know them, so I can preach this just like I would in Highland Acres, and I know many of their commitments or lack thereof. But the devil knows, man, even if he can't get you back in the world, just sit there and be worthless to the church. That's what he really wants. Members who attend about half the time. And let me tell you what's happening with that. And I'm going to come down here. I'm going to come down here just for a sec. Here we go. First Sunday of the month, I have renewed myself, and here I go. I am coming to church. I take one step forward. And then for the next couple of Sundays, I have changed my mind. I take two steps back. And then next month or so, I'll come back. One step forward. And then for the next few Sundays, two steps back. I'm getting further and further away from God because of a lack of commitment. That's what the devil wants. Attend about half the time. 20 years have gone by, and that's my activity. Once, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. And talk like I've been a faithful member of the church all my life for that 20-year period. The Bible is clear that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that is the manner of some. But he wants us to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see that final day approaching. And then the devil doesn't want us to study the Bible. He wants us to stay ignorant. I mean the word ignorant in a nice way, not an ugly way. He wants us to stay in a condition where we just don't know the Bible. We don't know God. We don't know his love for us. Ignorant. Just don't know. And so we go through life never really knowing the extent of God's love for us. And so there's never any commitment back to him because we just don't know. And don't let us pray, especially on a regular basis. Now, the devil would want us to pray about only time when we slip and hit the thumb, you know, with the hammer. Lord, help me. And that's about it. And that's about it. And that's about the only time that we pray, stomp our toe, oh, Lord, help me. And we get in a bind, Lord, Lord, where are you? And that's about it. Don't pray to God on a regular basis, because if we do, we just might fall in love with God. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Those of us who pray on a regular basis, you can tell. You can tell because when you approach the grace of God, the mighty power of God on a regular basis, it humbles you. You're not big-headed thinking you're all that. When you've been praying on a regular basis with God, when you approach his presence, I'm telling you, some kind of humbling. And yet, unfortunately, there are those members of the church with the big head thinking they all bad, not praying, just putting on a front. Don't partake of the Lord's Supper as spiritual food. Refuse it, thinking that you're not worthy of it, as the devil would plant that thought in our minds. I often say, when we're teaching the Lord's Supper and we're trying to teach people that word doesn't say worthy, it says worthily. And it's an adverb that modifies verbs and adjectives and other adverbs. It does not modify the noun, you. So it's not talking about being worthy, because if we were to really consider the people who are worthy, nobody would be. He says, worthily, the manner in which we take should be a worthily manner. Don't give much to God, because fundamentally it is true that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And please, as the devil would say, please, don't do personal work. If you do personal work, you just might drive the devil away, is his thinking. You might end up saving your own soul and then the soul of someone else. Please don't do it. And so be ugly when you go in the stores. Be ugly so you never can build any kind of friendship. Clerk, what's taking you so long? That's the way the devil would have it. And so that clerk would look at you like, and next time you walk in, they'll say, oh no, here they come. Can I take off right now? Could let somebody come and take my place? Because they don't want to deal with you. instead of building a relationship to where you might invite them to come and worship the Lord with you. You might save a soul and your own in the process. Don't do any kind of personal work. Build relationships and try to encourage folk to do the Lord's will. No, the devil wouldn't want you to do that. He wants you really just worthless to the church. And if he can't get you to do anything else, the devil wants you to be a watchdog. Now, I'm saying that the way you need to hear it, watchdog. Because all he wants you to do is criticize, find fault, everything that's brought up. Criticize it. You can think of some way to criticize it. Go ahead, come on now. Come up with a way to criticize it, find fault in it. Because the devil knows it's easy to tear down. It is difficult to build up. So criticize, find fault. That's the devil's work. And church, even when folk are coming up with ideas that probably is not in the best interest of the church, there's a way in which we can say that. There is a way in which that message can be gotten across to where it won't necessarily do that major tearing down business. But the devil, I'm telling you, he is some kind of busy. And we will hurt hearts to where folk really don't want to have a part of it. That's the work of the devil. Keep you out of the church if he can. It is true, man. The Bible is clear about the one church that Jesus built. I mean, absolutely clear. Purchased it with his own blood. It means a lot to him. Over and over again, not only does the Bible speak of it as a singular entity, but there are times when folk in the book of Acts, the enemies of God, recognized that they were a unit. And then Jesus prayed that we all be one. And the only way we can be one is based on what the scriptures say. We're not going to achieve any kind of oneness if it's not scriptural based. Not any unity worth its weight. We certainly won't be pleasing to God unless it's scriptural based. Devil knows there's only one church. And if the devil can't keep us out of the church, then he's trying his best to get us back in the world. He makes it look glamorous back out there. And even will fill churches with entertainment to draw us, because we're an entertained society. And if we're not, we don't have any growth at all in us, any word of the Lord in us, any understanding of it, then we might find that old entertaining world, that entertaining place, quite attractive. And the devil has us. Worship is vertical, not lateral. It's about my attitude towards God, and I've got to worship him not only with the right attitude, but in truth, which is the word of God. The devil wants us back in the world. And if he can't get us back in the world, then he's pretty content with rendering us just worthless to God, worthless to the church. Just sit down on a pew and do nothing. And I always have some excuse as to why I can't do it. I just can't. 20 years later, I still saying, I can't do it. I can't teach a class. I can't do this. I can't do that. Church, the youngest of us need to make plans to start planning the day down the road when we envision ourselves in a classroom teaching somebody. Certainly one-on-one teaching somebody. Because we're going to dive into the word and become familiar with what it says, and then we can't help but share it with others, because that's the message that God wants us to have. Go share it now. But the devil wants us worthless to the church. God wants us saved. The devil wants us lost. I think we all understand that. Everybody understands that. So, which way are we going to choose? Are we going to choose God and his way or the devil and his way? What would Jesus do? Really is a good, it's more than just a good saying, it's really a good attitude. Gets us through this life. Tonight we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. It's an opportunity for us to say to the devil, enough is enough. It is time that I surrender my life to my God. And I mean with serious commitment. Serious commitment. It's as if that commitment needs to be within us so strong that I don't care who's up in this place. I don't care who's watching me. I don't care. Just get out of my way. I am coming to my God, and I mean full force with all I got. Please, tonight, be encouraged to do that if you're subject to the Lord's invitation. And perhaps you're one who is not a member of the Lord's church, the one that Jesus purchased, the one that the devil knows is one. Why not tonight believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, willing to repent of sin, turn from sin, turn to God, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, which means he is deserving to be Lord of your life, and be baptized in water, even behind me, in this pool tonight, ready for you. All things are ready for you. You're subject to the Lord's invitation. You'll come up out of that watery grave saved according to the word of God. If we can assist you in that relationship with God, renewing it with more commitment, forgiveness of sins, whatever we can assist you with, please, we beg of you, respond to the Lord's invitation tonight as we stand and as we sing.